Hello and welcome back to the 20-Sided Podcast. My name is Brian Flaherty, and as ever, I am your Dungeon Master, and I'm joined once again by our three fabulous players. Say hi, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
We've got Noah Gebstad.
Hello.
We've got Chinook DeSera.
Hello.
And we've got Abby Hepworth.
Hello.
And on the count of three, one, two, three.
Hello.
How you guys doing?
Bad.
Bad.
It's Monday.
Good. Bad, bad,
so
not good.
So not great.
Bad, 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 good, good.
I forgot. Did everyone click record on their ends?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, totally, totally, totally. Just give me like 3 seconds.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's fine. Mm-hmm. It's fine. It's fine. Everything's good. Mm-hmm. No one's mad.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, nothing's ruined. Everyone's alive. We didn't kill Sienny. It's fine.
No, Sienny's fine. Sienny's fine. He's just upside down in a mirror face.
He's alive.
Yeah, everything's
fine. Wait, he's upside down?
Well, because the mirror is concave.
Is it like bats?
Like when you look in a spoon, everything's upside down.
You goddamn nerd. You stupid, stupid nerd. Fuck you.
Because I know what a spoon does?
Yeah, yeah. I hate you. We're not friends anymore. I quit.
We don't use spoons, Brian. We use forks.
Fork-only household. How do you eat soup? Fork.
Fork. Only noodle soup.
Fork it. Y'all ready to play some D&D?
Let's do it. I have such little health.
Last time on Prisoners of the Static. With the fear wraiths defeated, number 2 moved to seize number 22 and calibrate him with a draught of pure joy. Number 22 recoiled and hid behind Natasha, begging her to prevent number 2 from feeding him joy lest he be consumed by the village. Yaksha quickly enacted a plan to disguise himself as number 22 to allow the real 22 to escape. You all ran off into the village pursued by the tracker orbs and worked together to pull off this scheme. Despite some missteps from Natasha, you were able to successfully convince number 2 that Sienny had indeed captured number 22, who is actually Yaksha in disguise, while Natasha brought the real 22 to his hiding place in the topiary maze. Number 2, believing Yaksha to be 22, pushed him into one of the tracker orbs and ordered it to take him to the chamber to be fully calibrated. Sienny watched as Yaksha vanished towards parts unknown, and he attempted to convince number 2 to allow him to watch this calibration process, but after a tense exchange, was unsuccessful. So, enacting his own plan, he transformed himself into a fly and followed number 2 to Town Hall. Whilst in fly form, Sienny tracked number 2's footsteps and realized there was a secret hidden room beneath his office. After finding the secret switch, he attempted to get number 10 to trip it by annoying her in fly form and having her swat the switch, but flew a bit too close to the sun, got smacked in the process, reverting to his true form, completely freaking out number 10. After failing to trick her into leaving so he could enter the secret room alone, he waited until she tried to pull him from this room, pushed her out, and locked the door behind her. In the chamber, Yaksha spoke to number 2, who described to him the true nature of the weave, his relation to it, and the importance of maintaining the balance. He handed Yaksha a vial of pure joy, and Yaksha drank it before running out the door. Feeling this time a little bit different when he drank the mysterious liquid. Hoping to find Yaksha, Sienny ran down the mysterious hidden staircase in number 2's office. As he reached the bottom, he found a large room, and across from him, the robotic form of Mirren's greatest creation. Before he could react, he felt the bubbling of dread inside him and was pulled inside the mirrored face of number 1. We open as Sienny looks out into the darkened chamber that he had previously been in. He sees the space where his body had previously been occupying, now inverted with a bit of a sheen to it, as he realizes after a moment he is looking out through the mirrored face of number 1. From around him, he hears a voice, a feeling, a telepathic mind, something speaking to him, not in language, but also in language. It's a strange sensation, but you hear a voice penetrate your head, penetrate your ears.
Hello, Sieni.
Hello.
I have some questions for you.
Yeah, you should shoot.
Would you like to help me?
You know, it depends on what you need help with, you know?
What is this?
And you feel, in this kind of liminal space, you feel your body almost floating inside this mirrored realm. And you look around you, having failed your most recent fear die check. You see what you'd previously known as these like black wisps curling off your skin. You look closer, and in this strange mirrored realm inside number one, you see them not as gaseous wisps. You see them instead as fraying threads. You see a spectral, almost hand, grab one of them and pull it slightly, just indicating it. Hear that voice again.
What is this?
You know, I'm at a loss for words too there, buddy. I ain't sure.
I don't understand.
What don't you understand, pal?
You feel this entity grab this thing again.
You should feel this.
And momentarily you feel this almost spectral hand touch you, and you feel for a moment an absence. You feel tabula rasa. You feel blank slate. You feel an absence of any sensation.
But instead, you feel this.
And you feel a small tug on that little thread of dread, and you come back into your body with all the roiling emotions of mortality and that little pang of dread as it gets yanked.
Oh, don't do that.
Why not?
It's never polite to touch somebody's spectral thread without asking.
Oh, my apologies.
And you see this spectral, the thread kind of floats down almost as you float in this liminal space.
Why not?
You know, I got like a personal bubble, you know, like a bit of a germaphobe too. You know, like having my space, you know.
I see.
You wouldn't want me coming up and just like, I don't know, grabbing your mirror face and like touching it a bunch.
You are welcome to touch my face.
That's cool. No, thank you. Again, personal space, germaphobe stuff. I don't want to smear it either. I don't want to get my grubby little paws on it.
Okay. You have answered my question. Now I will answer yours.
Who are you?
I am number one.
What's your purpose?
And you see the pause that emanates sits for a while.
I do not have purpose. I am.
That's purpose enough for me, you know. What do you do? What do you work on? What do you work on down here, buddy?
You see,
what's your 9-to-5 like?
What are your hobbies?
You see that wisp of dread, that thread, almost like a fraying piece of yarn, gets twisted up around this like spectral finger, and as it motions to it again.
I want to fix this.
And you see, as you look a bit closer, the fraying aspect of this thread seems to almost be coming off of you, as if someone had snipped a piece of fabric.
Something is broken.
In me?
In me.
And you need these to make you not broken?
I feel this.
And it pulls on that thread again. You feel that momentary pang of dread.
should not feel this. Why do I feel this?
You know, I don't know, man. I'm playing catch up with you, too.
Will you help me to not feel this?
Like, kill you?
I don't experience life in the same way as you. But these sensations are strange to me.
They're fine. They're cool. You just gotta, like, learn to manage them. I guess I don't want to kill you, but I also don't know what you want out of anything. And we're just trying to get out of this godforsaken little village.
You don't like my village?
No, that's not what I meant. Not that I don't like it. You know, like, how, like, even towards, like, the end of a vacation, you're excited for home? Like, even, like, on the trip, you're, like, excited for bed? Like, we're kind of at that point. Like, it's been fun, but even paradise for too long can be taxing.
But the village is correct.
In what sense?
It feels like this.
And you feel this finger almost touch your forehead. And again, that tabula rasa feeling, that complete stripping away of emotion floods you again. And as the finger pulls away, mortality comes back.
That is how you should feel.
Ooh, that's going to be a big no for me there, pal. You say you don't live like we live, but we like living like this. You got to have the good and the bad, and you know.
Why?
So, makes life more. Again, it's kind of that vacation metaphor. I'll go back to it. Even in the good times, like, eventually you're going to have trials and tribulations, and then once those are over, you keep looking forward to things. Life's all about looking forward, you know? Or staying in the now. Life's about a bunch of stuff. You know, it's complicated.
It is complicated.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Complicated.
That's not bad, though. Complicated's not bad. It's just complicated. Complicated, I would say, is probably void of good or bad. It just is. So I understand you're trying to get rid of complicated in your village, but it's also, you got grapes with heartbeats. It's kind of creepy as hell, you know? Like, without it, it's creepy. It's like, Do you know the Uncanny Valley there, Mirror number one?
Uncanny Valley?
Yeah, so it's like, I get you're stripping it of emotion, and it still feels human, but it doesn't feel human.
May I show you something?
Oh, what now?
I need you to help me.
Do what?
Understand.
Yes, I'll help you understand.
You feel that hand come forward.
May I?
Yes, you may. Yes.
Finger touches your forehead and you feel... And as you are sucked backwards in time, in emotion, we flick over to...
No, thank you.
A carnival that is being set up for the following day. It's late evening. The band is finally starting to sound really good. The conductor is no longer screaming at his flautist, who keeps going sharp. The carousel... Classic flautists... the carousel still covered in this large tarp grand opening sign on its front. And Natasha, you are kind of walking around this area.
I want to look over and see. You said the carousel's covered in a tarp.
Yeah, like a big, like, grand unveiling type thing.
Is it like a tent where there's like an entrance, or is there like a slit in the flap? Are there people going in and out? Is there someone like guarding it?
There's a couple guys who are like working on it, essentially like setting up like rope lines, like mm-hmm. a queue for the following day. There is a slit in it. Like it's meant to be like pulled open in this grand reveal.
Right. Okay. Yeah, Natasha is going to try to sneak under the tarp.
Go ahead and roll a stealth check.
She's going to nod to Gilly and she's going to nod to Gilly and Boris.
Yeah, boss, what do we... You want to split up? Check this place out? I mean, I know this thing feels like it's going to pop off soon. I don't know. My hands are glowing.
Gilly, I need you to, is the youth say, chill the fuck out.
Natasha, you also can't say chill. Chill doesn't, I'm sorry.
Gilly, it's just, okay, I'm going to go sneak into carousel, have a look around. I want you and Boris to make sort of distraction over there. Let me to sneak. Just make conversation or sort of like say all loud, oh, this is so cool.
Oh, what fun we're having.
But go over there and do it.
Oh, look over there. Wow. And Gilly starts walking away, Boris going, look. Oh, wow. It's fun, guys. Wow. Look, it's going to be so cool tomorrow. go ahead and roll a stealth check.
Okay. 21.
Yeah, you move past these two guys who are setting up like stanchions, quickly scoot under this tarp. Inside, you feel that like dank, musty smell, sensation of being around like old wood that's also been like enclosed. It's like it's a little hot box in here. A good like 15, 20 degrees hotter just because you're under this big canvas. You look and in the darkness, there's like a few little peaks of light coming through. You see a very grand old carousel. You know, very like old style fashion, very mechanical things like that would move it up and down. It's a lot of like gilding. There's a lot of gold. And rather than seeing horses all around, you see a bunch of different strange, like magical creatures. Mm-hmm. You see there's like a dragon, there's a unicorn, but there's also a nightmare, which is like a, you know, kind of demon unicorn type thing. Hydra, dragon turtle, banshees.
What's a dragon turtle?
A dragon turtle is like a giant dragon, but a turtle.
It's
exactly what it sounds like. It does not have wings. You also see like a purple worm, like giant sand snake type thing. You see, and you also see some of these animals that are familiar to you, but in unfamiliar ways. Like there's a lion that has like a dandelion mane. There's what looks like a displacer beast, like this thing with many, many tails, but it's all made out of vines. So it's like familiar things and unfamiliar things.
Oh, I really don't like the look of those animals. Natasha is looking for that arm that she suspects might contain rings, like a old time carousel where you try to grab at them.
Yeah, you look and you see around the outside of this carousel, there is a mechanical arm that you see could like be pulled down into like a horizontal position to like allow people to grab these rings. It's currently like clicked up into a vertical position.
And is there any, do I get any sense of, or can I do like investigation or perception or something to see if I can see where you would like, is it a one in, one out sort of like you load it in the same way that it dispenses them? Or is there like an upper thing?
Yeah, go ahead and roll investigation check.
Okay. Investigation plus zero. 8.
Even with an 8, like you see that there appears to be about like 11 rings in this thing. There's like a side slit you can see that kind of like shows you the rings in it.
Okay.
There does appear to be a top loading mechanism. It's like a very long, very narrow slit. Mm-hmm. And you see a collection of rings, a number of like silver little rings, maybe the size of like a bangle or a bracelet. And then at the back, you see a single brass ring.
Is it it's the very last one?
It is the very last ring.
This narrow slit for loading, is it perhaps, you know, size of like a tail?
Is it the size of a tail?
I do not know if you know, but kitties is liquid. They do not have bones.
It, if your goal is to attempt to extricate this thing with your tail, you can certainly try. Mm-hmm, I'll say it like they fit perfectly. So there's not much for you to grab onto. So, right. And you, like your tail could like get in there and try to pull it, but there's not much to like hook it or
snow leopards
grab it
also
with.
Have very large tails. So I don't really know what I'm thinking here. Oh, I just don't want to have to pull all the rings out and then put them all back in.
I will say, as you see this thing, the first ring is sticking out, like in a position that it could be grabbed.
Okay. I'm gonna try to take it out, but like very slowly to see what sort of noises happen.
You start to pull out the first ring and it sticks in place.
It doesn't come out, you mean?
It doesn't come out.
I put a little effort behind it.
Go and roll a strength check.
It's a nat one.
Oh, no.
I do have a plus 8. No. Will you honor a 9?
No. I will honor the plus 1. Will I honor a 9? Mm-hmm. Very cute spin on that.
Yeah, that checks out.
You grab onto this thing, pull hard, and fly backwards as the... It does not come out. You lose your grip and bang, laying hard on this carousel. The whole thing kind of like rocks and jiggles. And you hear some of the like internal musical mechanics for a moment, like kind of click. And you just hear a little bit of music start up as if like the gears begin turning. You hear from outside the canvas. A couple guys go, "What? Did you press anything, man? No, let's go check it out." And you see the canvas begin to move as someone begins to look for that opening flap.
I'm going to hide behind whatever the biggest like creature is.
Go to roll a stealth check.
I will, Brian. And I'll do better than a 1. I'll do. I really thought that was going to be a 2. A 13 plus 6 is 19.
You see these two guys open up the flaps, kind of look around. It's really dark and you see them like squinting. Clearly these... two human men don't have dark vision. There's a little bit of light coming in, but they're kind of like looking around. It's just finish our job. And they kind of exit back out. You hide behind this massive dragon turtle as these two guys open up the flaps, look behind, then close back behind them. As you pull yourself kind of up, you pull yourself off this wooden carving, very intricate carving. It's been painted and colored. Gilded, there's like stones on the scales, and as you take your hands on it, you feel the wood begin to grow wet and then begin to drip a little bit.
What? That's gross.
It's squeezing.
And as you feel those drips kind of hit your feet, we
what?
Flash over to the inside of the town hall where Yaksha has just run upstairs, sees number two opening the door to his office, noticing this secret tunnel revealed, realizing that someone has gone down to talk to number one.
I still look like 22, right?
Yeah, you still look like 22.
I'm going to like go to a corner where like no one is or can see me and then change back into Yaksha. And then I'm going to run back to number two's office and be like, "Hey, you see my friends? I lost them in that chase. How you doing, by the way? Everything good?"
"Everything is fine. We captured the Drake, number 22. It's been dealt with. I'm sorry, I am preoccupied right now. I will deal with you. We can discuss again later. I believe your friends maybe at the carnival."
"Cool. I can help out if you need. Also, you got anything for spell slots? Perhaps like a beverage that'll give me some spell slots back?"
I'm very much preoccupied. You see him flick around the TV. He pressed a couple buttons and the TV screens all kind of like jump around to various camera angles. You see his eyes kind of scan. He goes, "Curious. I don't see. There's your friend's brother and the crazy purple hand one. I don't see your captain anywhere, but I'm sure she's around the carnival."
Cool. I'll go find those guys, I guess. You sure you don't need me to go check anything out for you? Maybe that's... whatever. This is not going to go well for me. I'm just going to leave."
Yes. Good. Number 10, come here quick.
And you see them begin to descend this hidden stairwell.
The door is still open?
Yeah, essentially like this like thing rose up revealing a hidden staircase and it was just still open.
Oh man, I really want to see what's down there, but I don't want to get number two mad at me. Hey, can I come?
No, this is a very sensitive area. I don't think we should be bringing you there.
I hate to be this guy, but you know, you did promise me that, or at least you'd ask number one. You'd say in some capacity I could meet number one, and I kind of heard that number one's down there. I would just love to come see what's going on.
Go ahead and roll a persuasion check.
Oh, boy. Okay, come on, nat 20. That's a 18.
I have not spoken to number one about your request. I will bring it to their attention presently. Will that satisfy you?
I don't have any information that would say otherwise, so yeah, I guess so. No spell slot juice, right? You just check in one last time.
I do not really partake in the spell slinging. As you know, I am more of a fencer of sorts, and so
that's fair.
I am, no.
I'll go check the pub. Never mind. All right, see you later. And then I'll let him go on his way.
They run down the hallway, leaving his office empty and the door is still open.
I'm going to look through his office for shit. I'm looking through that fucking office, baby.
Hey, let's go.
Go ahead and roll a investigation check and tell me what you're looking for.
Open all the drawers. Push all the buttons.
I'm looking for maybe like something about the beholder and the jail. Maybe something that can get us some information to get around the beholder. Maybe his name. Maybe like his favorite food when he sleeps, you know, I don't know, something just to get around that so we can free something to help us get Mirren out of there.
I will say this area is not like a desk and drawers. It's essentially all like computer screen type things and like security cameras. So you essentially have like views of the entire village.
Could I find if there's like a back entrance to the prison that Mirren is being held in?
Yeah, go ahead and roll an investigation check.
That is a dirty 20.
You look around the screens. You see Boris. You see Gilly. You see there's even a seemingly like a camera that's looking out over the docks, and you see the gilded ghost off in the distance with one small figure kind of walking back and forth along the foredeck. You begin to like play with some of the various buttons. And different images flash up on the screen, and it takes you a moment to kind of go through them, but finally you click on one that is significantly darker than anything else you've seen. And it just looks like a kind of a black blur for a moment. And then you see a small shadow move slightly. You look a little bit closer and you realize this is a camera looking at a figure. You see along the ground there is a very thin layer of water on the ground. You see dank stone curving around, and you see the small hunched over figure of a small goblin.
Is there like a speaker function where I can like talk to this goblin?
Is there an intercom?
Go ahead and roll me another, I'll say either an investigation or an arcana check.
Okay. I'm going to do investigation. That's a 18.
You kind of like touch some buttons and you find one and you hear, you know that you've definitely found something that is broadcasting. You're not entirely sure exactly how it is broadcast, but you found something that is definitely a speaker of some sort.
Oh boy.
Oh no.
I'm going to go, hello, this is number two. Can you hear me? Can you say something back?
You see the figure like jump.
What? Hello? Hello?
Hello. What? Okay. Can the beholder hear me right now?
Probably.
Okay, how about now?
I don't know, he's a big fucking eye.
Okay. Be chill. Be cool. How do I get you out of there?
If I answer you, is that chill and cool?
Yes. Just be, don't be fucking loud about it.
Sorry. A rope would be good.
Okay, yeah, but a rope from where? Where do I drop the rope?
The top.
The fuck? You're in a fucking, goddammit. Do I have to kill the beholder? How do I get rid of the beholder?
Killing it would certainly work.
No, okay, what if I can't kill it?
Are you talking, like, philosophically or, like, physically?
Physically, physically, you piece of shit.
Oh, okay. This prison is designed very simply. You put someone in the pit, put a beholder above them, magically force their eye open, and then it's really tough to get out. It's a very simple design.
Okay. If we redirected the eye that's stopping from doing magic, can you get out yourself?
I mean, probably.
Is there something in this village that has enough magic that would force the beholder to take its eye off you?
That is difficult because, you see, the brilliance of this particular plan is that the beholder is not physically restrained in place, you see. The beholder is free to move about, should it so choose. But I have used a spell, a Gaius spell, a very powerful Gaius spell of my own design, to force it under my command to continue looking down into this pit, lest it die. So if it looks away, it dies. Or maybe not dies, but it takes a significant amount of damage.
Does it know this about itself?
It's very aware. That's how it works. It's a threat.
Why did you tell him this?
Well, it only kind of works if you tell him that the threat of death looms large should it look away. Because otherwise it would just happen to look away and then die.
Okay.
You gotta tell him. You gotta tell him.
I don't like what I'm about to say. I don't condone this. But is the beholder like a sad kind of guy?
Well, interesting thing about beholders is they're all very... there's no polite way to say this. Xenophobic. They don't like anybody, but they are very egalitarian in that sense. They hate and despise everything, including other beholders, which is, you know, in a sense...
So
there's great equality there, just for evil.
There's no way... Okay, so there's no way, like, to convince him that his life would be better if he just stopped looking at you.
I'll be honest, I haven't delved that deeply into the beholder psychology, but maybe... It feels difficult. If the beholders, they've got a sharp mind. Most of their head is their mind, and their big eye. They're mostly teeth, eye, and mind.
Okay, this is
extremely unhelpful. If you see a couple, I'm gonna try and get you out of there. You just be cool. Don't tell anyone we talked. I guess. Anything else you think I should know, big guy?
I am Mirren the Baker. Hello. Who? Might you be?
No, I think it's better if you don't know my name for now, just in case.
Oh, a mystery. I like mysteries. did you, perhaps, find me because of my bottles?
Yes.
Ha ha ha! I thought it might work. I knew it would take some time. I didn't think it would take this much time, but time is something I have in abundance. When you're friends with gods, time becomes a...
When was the last time you talked to someone?
It's been some time, my friend.
This is a good day for you, then.
Yes, it would be better if I was out of here, because it's been some time since I've been in here.
All right, we're going to get you out of there. While you're in there thinking, you know those little orb things that you use to imprison titans with?
Yes, the Mirren Orb. It's one of my first real... not one of my first creations, but one of my first real, you know, fantastical creations. I think I did pretty good. I was worried. I remember I was working on... I think the calculations might have been a bit wrong. I never got to finish that, but there's a fix in there. I'm sure I could. If I put some mind into it, it would work.
Well, all right. This is a little problem for you to solve while we figure out a little plan to get you out of there. My mom, her soul's trapped in one of them.
Oh, that's not good.
And I'm going to need you to get her out. And then, and you know, we'll save you and we'll get my mom out and we'll have a great time together. You can be part of my crew.
I have a question.
Sure, go ahead. Hit me.
And I am nervous about asking this, but here we go. Because I haven't spoken with someone in so long, I don't know really how these social contracts kind of work anymore. Is my freedom contingent on me freeing your mother?
Personally, for me, yes, but the rest of the people I'm with, probably not.
Could I speak to those other people?
They're not here right now, unfortunately, so it's just me and you, big guy.
Interesting, interesting, interesting. Okay, I will work on this quandary. I will let you know. Those orbs are particularly good at getting a soul inside. That's what they were designed to do. Specifically designed to keep a soul inside such an orb. So it will be difficult.
Well, you know, you're Mirren the Maker. I'm sure you'll have a fix. Oh, also your sunflower pet thing. Any weaknesses I should know about that guy? Turned out to be a real... He's number two right now.
That might explain why I'm still in here. He was supposed to find me a ring. Did you happen to find it?
A ring?
Yes, a ring. A brass ring.
That really wasn't my job. I think maybe one of my friends is really on that or something. My job was kind of, I don't know. We didn't really talk about whose job is what, but that's not something I've been really looking out for. But maybe, I think my friend mentioned that once or twice. She seems to have more written some notes or something about a brass ring. I haven't really... It's on the radar. It's on the radar. I'm sure we'll find it.
Would it be possible to move it a few steps up the radar? Put it maybe right on top. Top of the radar? Top of the pops?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. You top put the orb pops. Thing at the top of your radar, I'll put the brass ring on top of mine, and then we'll get you out of there.
It will be a fun project for to keep the mine sharp. To keep the mind. You got to, with the whetstone, but for the mind. The mind whetstone. And then you use the leather strop to get it extra sharp.
You start with the whetstone, the grain, you know, the rough grain, and then the fine grain, and then the leather strop. Mm-hmm. And I do that with my mind, but with this problem.
Great. I love that. And if the beholder asks who you're talking to, tell him it was number 10.
But is it number 10?
Just tell him it was number... No. No, it's not number 10.
Also, it's a lie.
Yes.
This is a ruse, a deception, a subterfuge.
Yes, we're trying to, you know, sow distrust within the leadership around here.
Interesting. Ha! Whoo. I haven't gotten to lie in some time.
Great. Good chat. Anything else I should know?
The beholder's name is Chauncey.
I love that. This is a great conversation. I love you.
I think I...
Say it back!
Feels a little quick for me, but because
Do you want me to save you or not?
Yes, I love you. I love you. With all of my little goblin heart.
That's great. All right. You're part of the crew. Welcome to the crew. I'm your captain. When you see me, you call me captain. You'll know who I am. Don't worry.
Okay. I'm very excited for this meeting. Hopefully soon.
Yeah. Soon? Well, I'm going to try and make it as soon as possible.
One more thing. You will need 100 feet of rope.
100 feet of rope. All right. Got it. Well, I'm on it. 100 feet of rope, brass ring.
Oh, yes, brass ring too.
The beholder's name is Chauncey. Got it. It's all on the list.
Yes.
Great. Good chat.
And if you have any candy, I would take that too.
Oh, you know what? I'm sure I can get Boris to make you some homemade candy or something.
If I could only have candy or the rope, I would prefer... The rope.
I'll do you one better. I'll get you a candy rope.
Little
nerd's rope. You have a nerd's rope.
Are you also an inventor like me?
I got some friends in
the candy
great cooks. I'm sure.
Business.
I'm sure. Let me talk to my buddy. I can't make that promise. Honestly, I'm not the chef. But I'm sure my friend Boris, he's a chef's kiss.
I would very much like to meet this Boris.
He's great. One of my best friends. All right. This has been carried on way too long. I gotta go. I have no idea when they're coming back.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye.
And as you, I assume, are you heading out of number two's office?
Yeah, Yaksha is going to try and go find his friends to tell them what he just did.
You book it out of number two's office. As we, Sienna, you feel that spectral finger touch your forehead, pull you back. You feel that familiar tabula rasa feeling, that feeling of being stripped away, of being empty, but you don't feel it of yourself, if that makes sense. You don't feel as if you have been stripped empty. You feel instead as if you are feeling someone else's sensations. You look down and you see your form beginning to like melt away, and you can't see it, you can't sense it, but you feel yourself moving backwards through time, through a kind of memory, and you feel this blank feeling. Realizing that you're feeling what number one is feeling. Not in this robotic form, but in the true form of number one as the expansive weave of magic stretching throughout the world and the plane. You linger there for some time, just feeling the world. You stretch through everything, every rock, every blade of grass, every animal, every bit of water, every cloud, every mountain. Just there, beneath the surface, not interacting, not changing, just apart. And suddenly you feel a sensation. You can't even, with such a lack of anything, anything feels insane, but this feels like an explosion, like a volcano. It feels an eruption, and all of a sudden a rip comes through you. You feel yourself being torn apart, a massive gaping hole as if a cannon has been shot through you. Cannons the size of boulders, the size of continents. And you feel three things fly through this hole. You feel yourself begin to leak out, the threads of this tapestry that is you fraying and waving almost in the spectral breeze. You feel three things penetrating through you. Roll a history check with advantage.
All right, history. A 18.
It takes you a moment to realize what you are feeling and when you are feeling, because the sensation that the only thing you can compare it to is pain overtakes you entirely. It takes you a moment to realize that you are feeling and witnessing something that very few would remember, and certainly no one has ever felt. You feel the moment the Titans come through into this world. You feel them tearing through the weave, and you feel this formerly mundane, benign, neutral force all of a sudden exposed to the raw world, exposed to raw humanity. And you feel as the threads of it kind of leak out, you feel humanity and fears and hopes and dreams and joy and sadness and anger seeping in through these fraying threads. And you feel something that was for a very long time, for infinity, for always, a benign force, a benign entity, this cosmic weave, now forced to feel the pain of mortality. As you feel this and have this understanding, what do you feel?
Oh, what do I feel? I think deep empathy. I think like very, I'm probably over, very much overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed with emotion. I'm overwhelmed with, I think as a person, Sienny is very in tune with his emotions, and this is a lot all at once. This is a very tidal wave. So I think I'm processing it in real time and just like going from like truly like glitching from one emotion to the next.
You glitch through these emotions. You feel the force of something that was never supposed to happen. This catastrophe, you feel it, and you feel the pain of this entity that had never felt or known or understood the concept of pain or of joy or of sadness or of anger or of happiness or of regret. You feel an entity that was never meant to experience any of this, never understood the concept of it, feel it all at once, and you feel the finger pull away from your forehead, and you are sucked back into your own body. Now feeling all the sensations that a mortal feels, even, you know, an elf as old as you that maybe feels these less than entities that live less, that live shorter lifespans like humans. It just feels right to be back in kind of like your own sensations. You hear that voice kind of come back to,
"I'm broken. Will you help fix me?"
Oh yeah, how do I help? That sucked. That that was too much. You gotta give somebody a warning next time.
I asked.
Yo, you're right. How do I help?
I don't know.
Oh no, we're gonna be at a stalemate then, because nor do I.
Why are you here?
Oh, we're trying to find Mirren.
Your friends were trying to find Mirren. Why are you here?
I'm trying to find Mirren.
But why did you come?
You know, I don't know you. You don't know me. Seems like a lot of to-do, a lot of pomp and circumstance for you know nothing. So let's keep it at a, I'm here to help my friends find Mirren.
Oh, no.
Okay.
I just accepted it.
Do you think Mirren will help or hurt?
Me or you?
Yes.
Yet.
You see that finger raises up again.
May I?
Oh, yeah.
Finger touches you again. And you feel now less of that blank tabula rasa feeling, but you feel the sensation of the difference of the material plane and this whole that is the static. Outside feels almost right, like a tapestry properly weaved, and then a hole that has been ripped through it, fraying threads. You feel something in that emptiness that is the static coming through. You feel a small vessel, a ship, forcing its way from this hole back into the material plane, and you feel the pain of a knife in the chest. You feel the pain of a bullet through the heart. You feel an immense surge of emotions and of feelings, and you feel the tapestry itself begin to rock and roil. Go ahead and roll another history check for me with advantage.
Ay, ay, ay. Ooh, dirty 20.
You feel as this tapestry of you begins to rock and roil, you feel what you realize off in the distance, a distant part of you, a mountain range begins to rumble and something falls in a massive cacophony, echoes across the entirety of you. You feel the moment of the cataclysm known as the cacophony, caused simply by a boat leaving the static back into the world. You feel the finger come off your head.
Mirren has not helped before. Mirren has only hurt before.
But, you know, maybe he saw the error of his ways and he can help now, you know?
Do you think so?
I would hope so. People can change.
Change?
Yeah.
I've only felt one change. It was...
And that was...
Bad.
Well, it doesn't mean all change is bad. It can be good.
Are you sure?
I mean, I'm not gonna bet my life on it, but yeah.
Would you bet your life?
Bet my life on it?
Yes.
That whatever change you want will be good?
That change itself can be good.
Yes, yes, in the broad stroke sense of it, absolutely. But in this exact moment where I'm talking to Amir, you know, I don't know.
What should I wager?
Oh, what do you got? What's in your pocket?
Mirren, make a mate. Mirren, say Mirren.
Give me Mirren. Give me Mirren to make it and let us go.
Within this place, I am confined to my body.
Uh-huh.
To this entity Mirren has made for me.
Uh-huh.
But if you'd like, I could help you.
Yeah, could you kill the beholder and can we take Mirren?
I do not possess the ability to destroy on command. But you have taught me how to...
You see it searching for a word.
Hurt.
Oh, God.
What? How did I teach you that?
You taught him torture, Ciani.
May I?
Yeah.
You see it touches your forehead again, and this time you don't feel the sensation, but instead you see flashes of the village. You see images of yourself casting various spells. You see Gilly casting Misty Step. You see Yaksha casting Disguise Self. You see yourself creating giant insects. You see yourself destroying the water just before it touches Yaksha's lips. You see the former number two casting a cone of cold. You see him invisible. And you see number one, the weave itself, the ability to cast magic, the ability to do these things, learning from you that it can do these things.
No.
You see, looking out from this like inverted mirrored face, you see its hands kind of rise up, and looking as if from a point of view of its face, you see its inverted hands look over to the wall. You see a small like spider in the corner, and it casts giant insect, and the spider becomes this massive thing. You hear the spider go,
"Now this is a vibe." Okay, now we could make a real good speakeasy here.
It's not a vibe.
No, this is a speakeasy vibe. It's a speakeasy vibe.
No.
No vibes.
No vibes here. Vibes elsewhere.
You see Mirren look at it and goes,
"This is not a vibe."
And it moves its hands, and you see the massive cone of cold that the former number two had cast, and you guys blast the spider and freeze it in place. It falls to the ground, shatters.
Brutal!
I can help if you'd like.
Yes, but be chill about it, okay?
Is that a pun?
Oh, well, hey, now, see, there's some things we can have fun. We can teach each other. We don't have to be so serious.
Okay.
Okay. Don't hurt my friends and let us go, though, when it's all over. Okay? And let Mirren go, too.
You are welcome to leave, as long as you don't hurt me.
I won't hurt. Don't hurt us and let Mirren go, and we won't hurt you. It's kind of a win-win. And you get to stay here and, you know, vibe.
Vibe?
Like what the spider that you killed just said.
I thought this wasn't vibes.
No, this right here isn't a vibe, this little moment, but vibe, you can, again, vibes change. Change is inherently not good nor bad. It's just change.
You will teach me of vibes?
You know, I don't know if I'm the best vessel to teach a vibe. I'm a professor, I'm a stuffy professor, but you know, there's people in our crew that could teach you a vibe or two.
Okay.
Okay.
Would you like to go now?
Yes, please. Wholeheartedly.
Would you like me to fix this?
And you feel a small tug on the fraying end of this dread coming out of your skin.
Yes, please.
You feel the finger wrap around it and begin to pull.
Oh, no.
Can you go ahead and roll your fear dice?
It's a D6, right?
It's a D6 now.
Is this the kind of thing where, like, if he rolls a 6, that he, after this process, like, can't feel fear ever again?
Who knows?
Could it be?
Who knows?
A 2?
You feel the thread get pulled and get stuck. As your body kind of tenses holding this thread in place.
I thought you wanted me to fix this.
I do, you know, but it's hard to explain, yeah?
When a thread is broken, you should take it out.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you are all of a sudden finding yourself expelled back into the room, face to face with this inverted mirror face. You see this robotic form kind of cocks its head to you.
Shall we?
We shall, yes.
After you.
No, I insist. I could never.
No.
Cocks its head again.
Is this courtesy?
It is.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It begins to walk up the stairs as you hear the footsteps coming down of a very small sunflower and a very regular size elven woman.
Very regular.
Extremely regular size, wearing a pencil skirt and very high heels. Number one, where do you, you should stay where you are.
I'm off to free Mirren.
Number one, I think you are confused.
And he looks behind and sees Sienna. He goes,
What did you do? What did you do? What is happening? What are you doing?
We're gonna go free Mirren.
No. Mirren is bad. He's a bad guy. This is bad. No.
We don't know. Let's go talk to him and see what.
I
haven't heard. You haven't let us see him. Let us see him. Let's all go talk. Let's just talk.
There's a warden who is very irate, and this is a bad idea.
Oh, cry me a river. We're going to go talk to him and figure out what's what. You guys are so weird out here.
Number one, I insist that you are... No, I think you are confused. And
you see number one look down and goes...
I am not confused. I am...
You see it searching for a word.
Curious. Please move.
Number one, I was charged with your protection. You are very clear. This, I am to protect the village. I am to protect the static. I am to protect you. And I think this is a very bad idea.
You see number one reach down grab on to the pocket watch and
No.
Rip it out of Don Taraxa.
No!
Don Taraxa falls limp to the ground. And number one puts the pocket watch in a small pocket on its side.
But what?
Follow me.
What?
Oh god.
And begins to walk up the stairs. You see number 10 just like press herself against the wall as number one walks up into the village.
What the fuck?
I like wasted 20 minutes of my time talking to Mirren the Maker. What the fuck?
Is Don alive?
I check on Don.
Go and roll a medicine check.
A 19.
Don, you see essentially like a chunk of him has been like ripped out, but he is breathing. He's alive. He's just unconscious.
Can I cure wounds?
Yeah.
All right. I'll do that.
You cast cure wounds. You see Don kind of.
Hello. What are we doing?
What do you remember?
It is foggy. I remember we were at the tree, and then we were fighting the number two, and I was killing the number two. I killed the number two. I stabbed the number two. This was good. And then I don't remember much.
Oh, you became number two, buddy.
Oh, that is exactly what I did all to do.
Oh, no, you became number two. Oh, yeah, you were kind of a butthead at
no,
times.
No, that I am very sorry. That's
really
antithetical to my whole deal.
So number one is now kind of on the loose, and that may be my bad. But we're going to go get Mirren.
You have spoken to number one.
I was inside of him for a minute.
You were.
He's just the tip.
you see a sunflower blush. He goes,
I don't mean to yuck your yum, but
like it's...
I'm pretty sure, from my understanding, this was an evil entity that, like, kidnapped my maker, so... It's weird vibe, you know?
Wait, number one's evil?
Wait, yeah, is number one evil?
Number one gave the command to imprison Mirren. So, kind of in my headspace, yes.
Yeah.
But the note said, find number one, don't trust number two. Right?
I don't know about any note.
I'm getting suspicious of everyone here. Not you, I'm glad you're back, Don. I missed you. I hated you as number two.
You see a little bee buzzing around him.
Ah, BB, very good.
BB, what's up, man?
BB just comes over, gives you a complicated bee handshake.
Wait, table talk. Is number one evil?
I think we don't know.
I think he's just a goofball.
Don Taraxa serves Mirren. Mirren was imprisoned by number two on orders from number one, as far as it's been told to you. That's what.
So here's the thing, Don. I feel like me and number one are on a good. We kind of are chilling. We're going to teach him what vibes are. He seems more just intrigued by life than fearful or like wanting to control it. He's helping us go get Mirren. He said he's going to let us leave, and we're willing to leave. He's willing to let us leave, and he may be able to kill the beholder. So we're kind of firing on all cylinders, you know. It's a lot. I'll be the first to say it's a lot.
This is a bit of a mind fuck, you might say. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm very much in pain. So, would you mind giving me a hand while we walk up this very creepy staircase?
Oh, yes. Can I touch you and give you, can I heal these wounds for you?
Yes, please. I'll take two of that.
You guys walk up the stairs following number one. What is everyone doing as Sienny follows number one up? Yaksha and Natasha, what do you find yourselves doing in this moment?
I'm just wandering the village going, Natasha, Sienny, guys.
Go ahead and roll an investigation check. And Natasha, roll a perception check.
Oh boy, that's a 15.
15?
11.
You don't hear...
I'm too freaked out Yaksha. By the wet turtle dragon.
You're freaked out by the wet turtle dragon. Yeah. There's like thick canvas tarps. But Yaksha, you do find Sienny and... Or, sorry, you do find Boris and Gilly, who are making like a big scene, just being like, wow, look at all these balloons.
They're both just practicing their Owen Wilson impressions.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Wow. Look at that. Wow. Oh, wow.
Hey, guys. Sick Owen Wilson. You doing there?
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Yaksha. I've been working on it for like a while. It's kind of my go-to, you know?
Oh, that's dope. Real quick, before I forget. Boris, I'm going to need you to make like 100 feet of candy rope.
Sure. All my candy making materials like on the ship. You need like a thermometer and stuff and a very specific temperature, especially for kind of like gelatinous candy rope type things. But like, yeah, I could totally make that happen.
Yeah, go run back to the ship and go make that right now.
Oh, like that's a... I'm sorry, that's a priority for like right now?
Yeah, I think so. We're going to need that stat.
Okay.
How quick do you think you can make that?
100 feet of... I mean, that's a lot of candy rope. That'll take me at least the night. I mean, if I don't sleep, you know?
You know what? I'll just tell him we'll make candy rope on the ship or something. You got any candy on you?
I mean, yeah, I always carry like a little bit of, and he pulls out like various like toffees and like small, like he's clearly wrapped them himself, like little hard candies.
Cool. Give me all that candy.
All of it?
Yeah, I'm sorry, mate. I'm going to need all the candy.
You see him like very quietly, like give you a bunch of candy.
Can I look at him and I go, all of it, mate.
Go ahead and roll an intimidation check.
That's a nat 20.
No! Poor Boris. Boris.
You see him open up his tunic, like, or open up his coat, like, very sheepishly. And you see, like, the coat looks empty, and he pulls, like, a secret zipper that runs along the entirety of the coat, opens up, and it's like that scene in Heavyweights where all the kids have hidden candy. It's just the entirety of the coat is, like, coated in hidden candy.
Oh, my God.
That's so funny. I go, yeah, I'm gonna need all that, mate.
Yeah, okay. And he just starts handing you all the fucking candy.
Cool. Do you have any? You have any rope on you, by the way, by any chance?
Oh yeah, I've got I keep like 100 feet of rope on me at all times, like just in
case.
I'm
gonna need the rope too.
Yaksha, can I ask you something?
Yeah.
And will you be honest with me?
Absolutely, I will.
Are you robbing me?
Are you mugging my brother?
No, mate. If I was robbing you, I'm just asking to borrow these things for the mission at hand. I just need the candy and the mish and the rope to give to Mirin so he'll like me and give me my mom back in return. You're doing me a favor. All right, yeah, I'm robbing you. You know what? I'm robbing you, yeah.
Oh, no, wait. I really liked the favor part. Can we go back to the... Can we just rewind just a
little
bit?
It can be a favor.
Okay, I'll take the favor. That sounds good.
Yeah. I look at Gilly and I'm like, I'm robbing him.
You just see Gilly look at you and go, arr.
Can I start licking all the candy and then sticking it to the rope to make a... Candy rope.
You start doing this and you just see with every lick and place on this like hempen rope, Boris's soul just dies a little bit.
You can lick two Boris.
You're
if you
claiming
want.
All the candy, then putting it on like a dirty piece of like waxen rope.
No. Oh, not the cherry gumballs. Oh no. Oh, not the bum bum swizzle sticks. Oh no.
Bum bum swizzle sticks.
I love that.
Oh, those were a special creation. Oh, those ones have the poppity pops. Okay.
Oh no.
Oh, that's just chocolate. That'll melt. Didn't even take the wrapper off that one, just licked it and stuck it right there.
You start making this candy rope. At this point, the sun is beginning to set. It's probably like, Natasha, you've been hiding out in here for just a couple minutes waiting for these guards to make sure they're gone. You feel this turtle get wet and begin to like leak. As you take your hands off it, the dripping and things stops.
What animal is next to turtle dragon?
Next to the dragon turtle is a unicorn.
I gently touch unicorn.
You gently touch the unicorn and you see the horn on its head begins to like twist and shine. Rather than like looking like wood, it almost begins to take on a ceramic quality. And you see the tip of it, where before was like a pointed piece of wood, begins to stretch a little bit, almost into a needle-like point.
Oh God, I hate this so much. I'm really fighting two urges where I feel like Natasha would be like, cool, so demon carousel, we get brace ring and we get fuck out of here. And then me, who's like, I want the chaos. I want to see what happens.
Oh, wait, okay. Natasha takes her hand off the unicorn.
It
goes back.
Pulls back into kind of like a wooden structure. You also, I'll say, you don't get the sense that what you were doing was like completing a thing. You got the sense that this was almost in the same way when you like pushed back on the carousel, the gears kind of like turned a little bit and you heard a little bit of music.
Uh-huh.
It felt kind of like that in a similar sense.
Okay, I have idea plan. Tell me if you will let me do.
I want to touch the unicorn again. And as the horn begins to like lengthen and thin out, I want to encourage it to form a hook at the top. And then I want to snap it off.
Sure. Okay. Go ahead and roll me a...
What check is that,
What
Brian?
Check is that? I'm going to make you roll two checks. First check is to try to like coax
Animal
this
handling?
Horn.
Please no. Don't say that. That will upset me deeply.
I think this will be a sleight of hand check.
Okay. 17.
As you touch this thing, you see this horn begins to become this kind of ceramic type thing. This point begins to curve out into a needle. You begin to force it down and begin to create a kind of hook. You're not getting like a full fish hook type thing,
right?
But it is curving down into a hook. Go ahead and roll strength check to try to snap it off.
That's a nat 20.
You crack this thing off at the wood, and you see this now ceramic horn in this hook-like formation being held in your hands. And as you do, the carousel begins to turn. And you begin to feel the various characters going up and down. You feel, you hear the music begin to turn on slowly, almost in this distorted way. And then as it begins to come up to speed, you begin to hear this tune ringing out. You see the arm containing these rings lower down into a horizontal position. That first silver ring gleaming out, ready for you to grab. The brass ring further up in this lineup. And you begin to see the unicorn's hooves begin to move up and down, its head turning towards you,
its teeth
gritting in pain.
No.
And its eyes alight in flames.
No.
What?
And that's where we're going to end for the evening.
No!
Damn it. God damn it.
This is what I was afraid of.
Oh, I hate it so
man.
Much.
You wanted gross. The chaos.
I thought I did. Yeah. I really did. I didn't mean to hurt the unicorn, but better than hurting a dragon turtle? Turtle dragon?
Dragon turtle. You do now have like a 3-foot hook.
Well, I'm going to use it. That's going to come in handy. I mean, she's a beefy woman. She's going to rage. She rage hook. It's going to be okay. It's fine.
We'll certainly find out.
Oh, God.
Next time on the 20-Sided Podcast.
Meow. Oy, oy, oy.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Come on.
Ay, ay, ay.